All right, our next presenter is Dr. Joanna Michael. She's the Associate Director of the Urban Medicine Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Medicine. She's also the Associate Director of the Urban Allied Health Academy, where she develops and coordinates service learning opportunities. Her principal role in both these positions is to develop community-engaged participatory student learning opportunities as a way to develop culturally sensitive urban health professionals who serve as advocates, researchers, and policymakers for the underserved communities in her area.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm really pleased to be able to share with you kind of an innovative curriculum for medical students that I believe is really critical to establish sensitive physicians that are working in diverse urban communities. So, Okay, so I have no conflict of interest regarding financial relationships or subject matter in the presentation. So this curriculum was envisioned by the Dean of Admissions, who had been there for over 20 years and recognized that there was a piece of what's going on in Chicago communities related to health disparities and health inequities that wasn't being addressed in the curriculum. And so in 2005, he began this program for medical students. It's a separate admissions, an additional admissions process to the College of Medicine, and we have about 100 applicants every year, and we accept 24 with the mission of preparing these physician leaders to serve urban communities in kind of a very simplified way. So they take part in this additional curriculum alongside the traditional medical curriculum for all 4 years of medical school. And the idea is that we want to develop the following competencies in this cohort group. We want them to become culturally sensitive practitioners that promote integrating medical services with other resources in the community. So learning how the macroscopic lens of how health behavior and health outcomes are influenced by social and environmental dynamics. We also want to develop in them this sense of advocacy, that they can work together with their community in a collaborative approach to address some of the larger issues and barriers going on with healthcare. We also want to encourage them to be researchers. So if they become a physician and they recognize something that's going on within their community, they will then feel confident in how do I look at what's really going on in the community? How do I start to ask these research questions and then develop interventions to help address more community level challenges? And also policymakers. So part of our curriculum is teaching them, if you recognize something on the community level, what is a larger policy issue? How might you go about actually encouraging your congressperson to think about this in a changing policy? And how do you develop data sheets and white papers associated with this as well? So how do we actually accomplish this? There's two main pieces of it. One is the didactic curriculum, and the other is the experiential. And the UMed curriculum is separated into three principal themes, one being community-based research and programs, healthcare delivery to the underserved, and policy and advocacy. So how that breaks down per year is in the first and second year, the medical students receive 6 to 8 seminars that we plan after their regular medical school classes. So they're mostly in the evenings. And in the first year, we actually start, again, similar to Frank, we have a summer book read and an online discussion tool where they can talk amongst each other about some of what they discovered in the book around health disparities. And we also do a bus tour. This year we were able to arrange the bus tour to actually visit our community partners. So the students could see up front where are they located. We had them do a windshield assessment while they were going on the bus tour, identifying trash, crime, banks, grocery stores, and that type of thing. And then our curriculum of these three themes are interwoven throughout the first 2 years. So they get about 2 seminars on each of these three topics in the first and second year. And then in the second year, too, it's just delving deeper into these three themes. In year three, because they're on rotation, it's difficult to bring them all together, but we do this a couple times a year. We've done motivational interviewing sessions, something more in depth around cultural sensitivity. And then in the fourth year, it culminates into a two-week public policy and advocacy forum where they're all brought together and we bring in federal and state officials and lawyers. We talk about what they recognized in their communities and how can we develop policy issues around this. And our hope is to graduate these physicians that, you know, we look at the big changes in terms of healthcare reform. What are the percentages of physicians that are participating in that discussion in terms of changing policy? It's a very, very small percentage, and we're trying to get them to really feel comfortable and competent in getting involved in these discussions, to really be movers and shakers in both at the community level and, you know, hopefully beyond in terms of federal and state involvement. So the second piece of our curriculum that has really evolved and grown a lot, and I should say that it was initiated and has evolved because the students themselves requested it. They said, if I'm going to be competent in working in underserved communities, I need to be out there. I want to understand what's going on in the Asian American community and the Mexican American community. And Chicago is too very segregated in terms of race, ethnicity, but it provides the opportunity to really understand some of the cultural and social dynamics in these neighborhoods. So the longitudinal community rotation has the goals of, one, developing a relationship with a community prevention organization. This started by students identifying the organization themselves, but through focus groups we found out that this was a lot for the students to take on, and they actually wanted to have pre-selected community organizations. And so that's what we did. We developed a set of partners that rotate through every other year, providing opportunities for the students. I'll explain how that works a little bit in farther on. They're supposed to engage with the community partner to recognize what some wellness and prevention activities can be that eventually leads to also an evaluation. They're expected to develop the intervention and then also understand how to evaluate its outcomes. And because this is a rotation, they're involved with the same community organization for the entire time through medical school. So they really get an in-depth engagement with the community and with the community agency. And at the end, their outcome measures are supposed to be able to be more long-term as well. And then our goal also is that the third-year medical students pass on their project and their community partner to the first-year medical students. So as a way of continuing continuity and sustainability year after year. So again, some of the direct ways that we expose students to some of these things is in the first and second year, they understand what CBPR research is, what ethics of community and academic interaction, what some of the challenges have been to academic engagement in communities, and how do you plan and evaluate a public health intervention. Then the teams, basically what we do in the first year is they are able to, we do like a community fair. So the community partners come and the students rotate around and talk with a community partner, and this is after the bus tour, and decide and make a first, second, and third choice of where would they like to partner. And then based on those choices, we create those teams, and then the teams go out into the community site and start doing participant observation and working on developing a regular schedule of engagement with the community partner. And again, at the conclusion, the students can write, this is in their fourth year, either a program evaluation paper, a research paper, or a CBPR grant proposal, and that's their final product. And we ask them that they set up a way of giving that back to the community in a way that's appropriate for the agency to apply what they've found. So overall, we ask that they engage in 200 plus service hours directly with the community agency. We don't do timesheets. It's more of an honor system that throughout the 4 years, that's the amount of time they're there. So in terms of the community rotation timeline, year one, they learn in the classroom principles of CBPR. We actually bring in community members into the classroom so they can talk about these issues, which the students love, to actually hear how health disparities, how do you engage with a community partner directly from community members themselves. Year two, they have to identify a faculty mentor, and we identify a community partner mentor at the agency to work directly with them. So in year two is when they're really supposed to engage in there and develop the intervention. Year three, they start saying, okay, let's evaluate. Has this been effective or not? Passing it on then to the first-year medical students. And then year four culminates in the advocacy and policy forum as well as their final paper. These are some of the community partners that we currently have throughout the city. A women's shelter, I'll just mention kind of the first and the last program. Half of these were initiated by the student. So we allow students that have relationships with the community partner to always to make a proposal to us that says, you've offered us these projects, but we'd really like to work with this agency. And we say, okay, if you can find other medical students that will come and do this with you, and you make a proposal of this being sustainable and what relationships have you developed, then we'll take that on. And it's been very successful in then incorporating those student projects into our formal partnerships. And they have been some of our most successful ones. One being a women's shelter, they've developed nutrition health educators from long-term residents that then teach healthy eating, culturally appropriate healthy eating to some of the other residents. Another one, Mujeres Latinas en Acción, we've actually received a lot of press from this recently. It's a domestic violence training for hair professionals. So hair professionals are taught to identify issues of domestic violence, you know, pulling out of the hair, bruising, and direct the clients to domestic violence services. So how do we evaluate? So that's kind of how we do the program. Now, what are our evaluations? And then based on what we've evaluated, what are our outcomes to date? So a lot of it is qualitative. We do post-seminar evaluations. We do focus groups with the students, and we ask them to do progress reports of their community rotation every 4 months. We've also developed a community advisory board, which are members from our community partners to advise us on how the partnerships are going. And then what we've tried to do, too, is see on a bigger level, we are looking at general medical school evaluations, so admission interview scores. We want to know if our medical students, when they come in, do they interview better on some interprofessional, their level of interprofessional communication and so forth. And then we look at the reviews of their M4 OSCE clinical performance exams that look a lot at cultural sensitivity and different issues, and we want to see if our UMed students perform better on those. And we also have an annual survey that looks at their level of comfort with individuals of different backgrounds. So those are kind of the bigger things that we're trying to find outcomes. So as we would expect based on what we look for in students, there was a statistically significant difference in the scores of our students when they came into the medical school. So like humanistic attributes, cross-cultural capability, emotional intelligence, and trustworthiness were some of our evaluation criteria in our interviews for medical school applicants. And as we would suspect, we're looking for students that come into medical school with these attributes. We want to nurture that and maintain it through medical school. Our outcomes of our seminars, our students, 67% of our second-year students and 84% of the first-year students strongly agreed that our seminars inspired them to be involved with and advocate for urban disadvantaged populations. And 80% of our students overall felt that seminar content would be useful in their career as a physician. Our community rotations, we have 16 local organizations in underserved areas in Chicago. And the students have said, as I mentioned, they prefer that we establish these partnerships, but the student-initiated ones have been highly successful and are exemplary and have been able to be sustained by our program over time. We've been comparing our medical students to the traditional medical school students in terms of how comfortable do they feel relating and working with students of different sexual orientations, different of gender, different cultural and religious backgrounds. And our students did show overall, you could see in white, that our 92% of our first year cohort said that they felt comfortable overall relating to these populations compared to 80%. But again, that's before our curriculum had really influenced them much. So it's almost like a pre. But what's interesting is when we look at these students 2 years later, our students went down significantly to 83%. So they became more uncomfortable. This is, again, these were not statistically significant numbers, but this begs the question, what's really going on? And some of us, we've thought, well, when you start becoming engaged with communities, you might start to think, we all want to think we're culturally competent, but as you become more engaged, you realize, wait a second, I don't actually really know. So that's one thing. Or are we in some way giving them information that's coming across that they become less sensitive. So it's an interesting thing because, or is the general curriculum very good at addressing some of these issues? The OSCE clinical performance exam, we looked at some of these issues, friendly communication, respectful treatment, interest in me as a person. So we kind of pulled out things in the OSCE that we felt like we want our UMed students to be better at. Again, our students did score higher on 11 out of the 14 case objectives, but again, the results were not found to be statistically significant. And this is comparing 24 medical students to the over 100 medical students in the class. In terms of our graduate outcomes, we accept students that want to get into all backgrounds. We believe that you need this whether you're a radiologist or an ER doc, not just primary care. But people with this mentality do tend to go into primary care more, and we did find that 67% of our group versus 50% of the regular medical school group did go into primary care, and that 70% versus 50% of our UMed graduates are staying in Chicago, which is also one of the things that we want to encourage. We hope that they get engaged in just impassioned by the community so much that they want to stay on and do their residencies and stay in Chicago. So overall, it suggests that we are preparing culturally sensitive physicians who are choosing to work in underserved areas more than their traditional counterparts, and that our student feedback is showing that there's a very there's a value and an importance to community engagement for these medical students to develop this. Overall, we want to nurture these students throughout medical school, and interview scores suggest we're bringing in medical students that are very concerned with these issues. But as this survey suggested, they become less comfortable. What is going on there? And we're trying to tease that out. So what we're looking at now is, since our preliminary data is suggesting that we are enhancing communicational skills and cultural awareness, but our question is, are our measurement tools within the general curriculum not specific enough? So the OSCE exam, we haven't put in UMed-related questions. Should we start doing that? How can we do that so that we actually are measuring specifically characteristics of our UMed students that we hope we are cultivating? So future research will explore, do we need to refine our curriculum? Is it that our curriculum is not adequately addressing things for statistical significance, or do we need to integrate and evaluate subset measures, like I mentioned, of UMed-specific elements into college-level evaluation tools so that we can really have outcomes that reflect a difference in our students? So this grant, we currently have a grant from the Chicago Community Trust, and we hope that soon the program will be institutionalized with the support of our deans, so that's our next big feat. So thank you very much for listening, and for the discussion.